Hey everyone, and Happy New Year from all of us here at Team 2600 Hertz. We hope you had a relaxing and peaceful holiday season and that your new year is off on the right foot. We've got a great episode for you this month, but before we dive into that, you may have noticed something new about the podcast. In our never-ending effort to bring the most engaging content to your feed, we've made some big changes to the podcast for 2022. Most obvious changes are our new title, In the Cloud with 2600 Hertz, and podcast artwork. But we've also got some other things in store for the new year. We'll be switching up the format a little bit. Don't worry, my chats with Elisa will still be here, but we'll be rounding out the podcast with interviews of industry leaders, analysts, as well as some members of Team 2600 Hertz in our partner community. So you'll be getting the best info for all things cloud comms and 2600 Hertz. Please subscribe and share this episode. And now, without further ado, here's my chat with Mike Tesler, the co-founder and CEO of Broadworks.
Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Clint Mose, and I'm back in action once again to bring you an exciting new episode. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, Mike Tesler. Mike was the co-founder and CEO of BroadSoft from its early startup days to what we know the company as now, a global leader in cloud communications that really created and shaped the UCaaS industry. Widely recognized as a pioneer, Mike grew the organization to almost 2,000 employees serving customers in over 80 countries. Cisco acquired BroadSoft in 2018, and 2 years later, Mike left to start a new venture. Currently, he's the managing partner at True North Advisory, a consulting firm focused on helping entrepreneurs and enterprises to scale and grow their business. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Clint. Thanks a lot.
I know a lot of our partners will be eager to hear from someone with such a storied career in the cloud comms industry, so let's just get straight into it. I thought it'd be good, especially for some folks that may be a little less familiar with your story and with BroadSoft, to start at the beginning. What brought you to VoIP in the 90s? What was so attractive about the new technology to you?
In the 1990s, there was quite a bit of activity in the communication space around exploring the shift from TDM to IP. And a lot of that was focused and centered around this idea of kind of reducing the cost of international toll and transit. And it was very hardware-centric. A world at the time, lots of VoIP gateways, and lots of companies in that space. There was very little activity thinking about how to leverage that shift from TDM to IP from an application perspective. What could you do now that you had voice in a different, voice being transmitted and communicated in a different technology, and what would IP allow us to do from an application perspective? So, and we both myself and Scott, who co-founded, we both were ex-Nortel folks. We both experienced building applications in the TDM world and the complexity around that, and saw an opportunity to kind of leverage this shift from TDM to IP to kind of introduce a new way to deliver applications.
Kind of thinking about that, right? As you said, a new way to deliver applications, kind of that shift from TDM to IP. What was your sales approach with a bleeding edge technology? How much skepticism did you see since it was such a new innovation? And how did you respond to or address that kind of skepticism in the market?
Yeah, I mean, early on, we really decided to take advantage of the using the technology, but really delivering that technology to service providers as our primary route to market. And service providers had obviously deployed very large networks, TDM networks, class 5 switches, we thought they would be the most obvious path to market. And so we started to kind of, work that sales approach by communicating and visiting service providers. And frankly, it was just really hard work about kind of hitting the road and explaining the advantages of the move to IP, which most large carriers understood, but were far from really making major transitions from TDM to IP yet. And we were fortunate when we went out and started to talk to talk to people about the opportunity to deliver communications in the cloud, which of course these words didn't really exist back then.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, we struggled to find what did we call our thing, and what do we call the applications and so on. And so what we were very fortunate in the early days of the company to actually discover and develop relationships with a large number of entrepreneurs who saw the opportunity to leverage this new technology to deliver a kind of next generation enterprise communication service in the cloud. And they really built their businesses around it. And that became the engine for BroadSoft for a number of years, where these young entrepreneur companies that really built their whole business around the BroadSoft technology, they really kind of worked with us hand in hand to figure out the roadmaps and all that stuff. But also they were the cold face to kind of selling to these small businesses, and was nice because a lot of these were regionally oriented. So they picked the city, they picked the region. There was not that much overlap, so we could actually get together and talk together as a group. And really, BroadSoft and our partner ecosystem really established this what we now call UCaaS as a market.
Yeah, that's fascinating, right? You all are entrepreneurial, starting something new, and then kind of latching on to other entrepreneurs and other new people and sort of building this whole thing like almost from scratch. That's really, really fascinating to know. I knew, a fair bit about BroadSoft and BroadWorks and everything, but didn't know that part of the history. As you mentioned, right, like starting in a moment where there's not words for the software, the product you're trying to sell, obviously isn't the case anymore, right? Especially on the back of what you all were able to accomplish. UCaaS is really so widespread and in many cases kind of become the de facto communication solution for businesses that are looking to kind of upgrade or future-proof their comm stack. So let's shift gears a little bit and kind of talk a little bit more about where the market is today. On this podcast, we've talked a lot over the past year about the role that mergers and acquisitions have played in kind of homogenizing the industry. I'm interested to hear what you see as some of the unique challenges that are facing service providers and resellers in the industry today.
Well, I think it's a really great and timely topic to talk about M&A, because we've just seen two fairly large transactions occur in the UCaaS space, or the greater collaboration space. One of them being, Vonage being acquired, and today just Fuse being acquired.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. I just saw it this morning.
Yeah. So I think M&A at this point of the market, the market's like you talk about BroadSoft, kicking the market off. It's 20 plus years ago. The market's definitely mature, and it is M&A is being driven by scale. I mean, the service providers today, if you're not large enough or niche enough, either end of it, scale becomes a real challenge. Scale lowers your cost of acquisition. Scale lowers your operating costs, and increases profitability in a business that's quite mature. And so I think the M&A activity you'll see in the UCaaS market will continue to be about scale. How do I get bigger? How do I reduce cost? How do I serve my customers better? And I think the day of a really small UCaaS provider, unless they're have some very unique differentiation, will struggle. So I think that definitely that's I think to me the number one message, and I've been sharing that message for the last couple of years, is that scale is going to matter, and if you were subscale, you better get worried about it and start thinking about it. and those that I think, you know, you saw a fair amount of M&A activity in this industry in the last couple of years. And I think you'll see now some of these bigger players get acquired, because again, you know, the scale factor is even bigger now. So
yeah, right, especially with everybody now needing to work remotely, balance a hybrid office with an in-person office, all that stuff, all of these things rise to the surface even more so than they already were, right?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, the you know, enough written about the shift of work from home on the pandemic. And there were things that we, you know, for years and years, we at BroadSoft led, pushed, and tried to evangelize the use of video. We used it extensively inside the organization. People pushed back, and then, you know, pandemic came and it became, you know, absolute mandatory capability. So I think that, yeah, things have changed dramatically. It's no longer, you know, some obscure technology, it's mainstream. So then scale really, you know, becomes a very important factor. And I think you'll see a continued drive towards that in terms of companies trying to get bigger and more scale. Of course, the challenge is, you know, whenever you do these acquisitions is, you know, scale works if you integrate well, it doesn't work so well if you integrate poorly. And so that'll be the stress point for a lot of these providers.
Kind of going back to addressing M&A as this kind of unique challenge right now in the market, you had mentioned it's either an issue of scale or an issue of niche. So what advice would you give to either somebody starting out in the industry or a smaller regional reseller to make sure they're having a niche offering or able to compete with some of these other service providers that are just so large that they can just beat them on price 99 out of 100 times?
I think the I think it's a really good question. I think it's one where you can no longer just be one of a few. What's become more important is your, you know, what is your differentiation? What makes you stand out from the rest? And I think the exciting part of the market is still there's a lot of market to transform. There's a lot of people who are dissatisfied with their current solutions and can switch. And so I think there's an opportunity if you really can build, you know, very, very clear differentiation. And differentiation can be product or product wrapper. It could be customer care intimacy. There's a lot of factors here. A lot of businesses still are challenged by kind of adopting the new technology. What does it mean? How do they use it? It's a little bit of a mystery. And so again, kind of customer intimacy on the sales and support side can create differentiation. But you know, if you're going to do a high customer care, business, you then can't compete on price against, let's pick RingCentral or, you know,
yeah.
This doesn't work. You're going to have to substantiate, you have to, you know, fight for a higher price point because you are going to provide a higher touch service. So I think it all comes down to really analyzing the competition, analyzing the customers that you want to go after. How do you create that very clear differentiation? I think there's something there around vertical. I think there's something there around customer intimacy that would allow you to be different than all the others. But that would be the area of kind of offer differentiation that I think if you want to be small or regional, that you'd have to do.
Yeah, I love that idea of a two-track approach, right? Like analyze your region, your market, where is there an opportunity, and then analyze your competition and be able to say, you know, you might be paying $2 more a month a user, but XYZ, it's no comparison. I really like that approach. I think that's some really good advice, and I think our partners will love to have that in their back pocket moving into 2022. Speaking of which, I'd be remiss if I chatting with you and didn't talk a bit about the future. So from your perspective, where do you see the industry going in 2022? And maybe more importantly, what do you see as some key sales or marketing efforts that could get a cloud comms brand there to meet the market?
I think 2022 we'll see a continued expansion of the market, more and more people moving towards cloud communications. So I think that, you know, that's a good, you know, good tailwind for all the partners. I think the thing that we need to start thinking about as an industry is businesses today, when we get into a way, you know, as we transition from early stage and, or, you know, we get more into the mature part of the market, you know, frankly, business owners are not looking for UCaaS or CCaaS or any other asses. They are looking for solutions. And we, you know, we communicate in this very technical way. You know, what does a business owner want to do? They want to improve their operations. They want to lower costs. They want to improve customer experience. They want to do more with less. You know, we all, you know, can't pick up any journal without reading about labor shortages. And yep. So how do you address that? You know, like, you know, businesses are trying to fundamentally make this digital transformation. And what's happened in the last 18 months and what's happening right now is forcing businesses of all sizes to tackle this digital transformation, you know, 5 years sooner than they would have. And how do you help them in that transformation? And saying, well, we have the best UCaaS or this or that. I mean, that's just not what the business owner, people just don't resonate. They're not technical. They're trying to sell more plastic. They're trying to like sell more shoes. You know, whatever it is, it's about that. You know, and I think we have to kind of start to understand how we get closer to customers. And we solve their problems versus all of this technology. You know, and there's a tremendous amount of really exciting, you know, innovative technology out there to actually help companies with digital transformation. But the businesses don't know how to consume it. They don't know how to. They struggle with it. It's not. They're not technologists, and so there's that divide, that chasm between the technology capabilities. And so, and you see that, you know, like in your personal life, you try to get customer support or customer care, and you just, it's a terrible experience. And you get on the web and you deal with one of these generation one chatbots, and you want to like scream like that. This is really not very like, advanced technology. And but that's kind of the state of where things are. And there's a tremendous amount of, you know, young, smart entrepreneurial companies doing all kinds of cool things to solve some of that, but how do you get that to the market? So I think you know, generally that's kind of where I think the trends are. I think it's going to be you know the big, as we talked about before, you're going to have the mega brand, the bigger brands with big scale, horizontal, people will know about them. I think there's a tremendous opportunity to kind of get closer to this digital transformation part of the business. You know, people don't want to make phone calls. They want to run their business. People need to remember that. They're like, you know, the goal is not to make a phone call. The goal is to run their, whatever that business is. I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I'm selling shoes. Whatever that is, that's my business. And how does the communications components help me achieve that goal versus the technology being at the forefront? So trying to turn that whole thing around. And how to and think about that. So I think that, to me, like, that's, you know, both a trend and an opportunity for the industry to kind of think through and, you know, get away from being too UCaaS, CCaaS, CPaaS, et cetera.
I totally agree. As somebody who's just averse to jargon in every walk of my life, it's enough with the acronyms. Like, we need to talk like people to people. So kind of speaking of that, I'm really interested to kind of hear a little bit more about what the post-Cisco phase has been all about for you. So it's kind of a way to cap things off. What led you to start True North, and what are you up to over there these days?
Yeah, so when I left, I mean, it was a fortunate set of circumstances. I left Cisco on March 1st, 2020, and faced the world's lockdown. To be honest, I didn't have plans of working March 2nd. I had plans of traveling, and that, you know, didn't happen. So along with two of my partners from BroadSoft, Scott, my co-founder, and Jim, our CFO, we started True North Advisory with the goal of helping companies with this journey of really understanding strategy, differentiation, go-to-market. How do we really help them scale their businesses? A lot of great technology, but sometimes struggle to kind of get it out to market. How do they bring that through the pipeline? How do they decide and get focus? One of the biggest issues we see is focus. We were very fortunate last summer to have two good friends join us. So Andy Miller, who was the CEO of Polycom and Tanberg and worked with us at BroadSoft, kind of driving our contact center acquisition. And Dina DePalma is also a good long friend who was one of the co-founders at Acme, you know, close partner to BroadSoft for a number of years. And he joined the last couple of years to run sales for me at BroadSoft. And so we're now five partners, you know, we're engaged with clients, helping them through those transitions, whether they're small or larger companies trying to figure out, kind of revisiting strategy. That's kind of what we do. We typically work on a longer range basis. We like to stay involved and get that involved. And that's kind of our business model. And we have been narrowing our focus ourselves, differentiation and creating a niche for ourselves around this whole customer experience area and digital transformation of businesses. We think there's a tremendous opportunity there. There's a tremendous amount of really exciting new technologies that are emerging, lots of great entrepreneurs in the space, and so we're trying to really devote ourselves in that part of the industry right now, and so that's kind of what we do. So we've got a couple, you know, dozen or so clients where we're with them pretty closely, helping them on strategy, messaging, and most importantly, you know, go to market strategies.
Well, that's great. I love that idea of not just kind of like parachuting in and out and saying like, boom, bam, here's your PowerPoint template, we're out. I love that idea of very clearly building out the scaffolding of how to actually like sustainably grow. And also happy to hear that you're hopefully helping people not go to their customers and talk about UCaaS, but actually talk about, you know, what it's going to do for them and how it's going to help their business. So great. Well, Mike, thanks so much. It really was a pleasure having you on the podcast today. I really appreciate your time.
It was a pleasure, Clint. Have a great day.
Thanks. Well, if you'd like to learn more about Mike and True North, be sure to give them a follow on LinkedIn and Twitter, where you'll find a ton of great thought leadership that they keep producing. For our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to like this episode and subscribe wherever you're listening. And while you're already there, write us a review. It only takes a second and is a huge help to all of us here at Team 2600 Hertz. Until next time, thanks everyone.